Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Programming note, tomorrow I'll be in New York. I'll be hosting Fela's show, possibly doing America's Newsroom if I don't get bumped again, and then doing this show. However, the final hour tomorrow night, Tom Aselby, my buddy, will be driving you home tomorrow night, doing 6 to 7 p.m. Aselby's the man. So, Matt and Justin, I think I was supposed to tell you that, but now I'm telling you. So,
oh, you don't worry. Tom already emailed us earlier.
Now, you know, look, there you go. It's good. Probably should have mentioned that, but I just forgot. I'm forgetting everything these days like that. Friday, Cape May. Friday, we'll be live in Cape May. So this time on Friday, we will be in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. And we'll be wrapping up our final hour in Cape May. And I will be sober because I have to drive home after the show, unfortunately. But that's okay. We'll still have a great time. And we'll have a lot of fun. And you can still... You can have as much as you want. You can imbibe as much as you possibly want. And I won't judge. The bar will be open. Not an open bar. Sorry, EJ, but the bar will be open. This is the clip of the 20-year-old with his mostly peaceful Molotov cocktail. Take a listen.
A 20-year-old man is behind bars after allegedly throwing a Molotov cocktail at a Department of Homeland Security building in Grand Island. According to a federal criminal complaint, the words "kill ICE" were spray-painted on a window. Cleaning staff later found what appeared to be a Molotov cocktail inside. Days later, several government vehicles behind the building were found with slashed tires. Surveillance video led authorities to 20-year-old Ulysses Martin, who was arrested.
Mostly peaceful. Molotov cocktail. Mostly peaceful. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. I saw him today, and you should see him too. Make him your dentist, just like he's my dentist as well. So Kraft Heinz is going to eliminate all chemical dyes over the next 2 years. They make Kool-Aid and Jell-O. And I'll tell you the Jell-O thing. So Reagan, my five-year-old, as you know, if you watch our Cooking with Reagan videos on my Instagram page, at Zeoli Show, loves food. She loves Jell-O. But she gets really hyperactive when she has those artificial colors. So we went to the supermarket the other day, and she's like, "Can I get Jell-O? Can I get Jell-O?" And, you know, we're reading the labels, and I mean, my God, like the stuff that's in there. It's like red 40, blue lake 60, red 58, whatever. Anyway, you can get plain gelatin, but the kids don't want that. They want, you know, they want to eat the strawberry and the cherry and everything else. Very difficult for parents to try to find healthy stuff for their kids, especially kids that really the hyperactivity thing from these artificial dyes is an issue. Patrick was the same way when he was younger. He outgrew that, thank God. But yeah, he definitely for a while was really affected by it. So Kool-Aid drinks and Jell-O the big announcement. The company said it will shift only about 10% of its portfolio by sales, but it will affect brands like Kool-Aid, Jell-O, Crystal Light, and other beverages and desserts that contain dyes like Red Number 40 and Blue Number 1. Kraft Heinz is the first major food company to officially announce plans to stop using artificial colors. In April, obviously, RFK came out and said he reached an understanding with food manufacturers to remove commonly used artificial food dyes from their products by 2026. And I got to tell you, listen, I applaud the approach here. The approach is we're not going to be a nanny state. We're not going to start banning things because bans don't work, first of all. And I don't want the government doing that. But pressure, a pressure campaign by consumers and enlightening consumers as to what's in the food and then working with food manufacturers. That's the best way to do this. And then the other thing you got to do is have a little patience here, because I know this from the fact that my wife used to work for a big food company. It takes them years to change the and I know that sounds crazy. Like, why can't they just get it out tomorrow? But it takes a long time. They got to ramp up their production. They got to find different ways now to make the colors, and they got to taste it. It takes a while. So that's why when they say by 2026, that's fine and good. We're making progress here. We're moving in the right direction, and that's going to make it easier. And as one big food company goes, then the other ones will start moving in that direction too, because you're going to see consumer pressure ramping up. Like, for example, Patrick loves Doritos. Doritos are loaded with crap. I love Doritos. Who doesn't love Doritos? They're fantastic. They're delicious. I would crush a bag of Doritos right now if I could. But it's also, you know, I'm hungry. It's unknown whether other large food companies will follow their lead. In mid-April, executives at Pepsi, which makes Pepsi and Gatorade drinks, as well as snacks like Doritos and Cheetos, told Wall Street analysts that it would either migrate its various brands into natural colors or provide the consumer with natural color options in the next few years. PepsiCo executives said about 60% of its business was from products with no artificial colors. But Kraft, like other food and beverage giants, will face myriad challenges in trying to replicate its bright red cherry Kool-Aid or the orange in its Crystal Light drink by using natural sources. Food coloring experts caution that it can be tricky to match the shades with natural ingredients and could require changes in formulations and maybe more costly, as it takes significantly more natural ingredients to achieve the bright, saturated hues found in artificial colors. By the way, my theory on that, nobody will miss it. Nobody will know the difference. The only reason why, when you go by with your kids and they see a box of Fruit Loops and it looks all bright, that's what they're used to. But if they were made with natural sources, like, for example, we give our kids vitamin gummies every day. And the vitamin gummies we give our kids, they're bright red, they're bright yellow, and they're bright orange. And they're all made from natural colors. So they use basically fruit to make the colors. Kids don't know the freaking difference. They don't care. It's not like the kids are going, oh my God, that red's not shiny enough. No one will miss it. No one will notice. And obviously countries in Europe have been feeding their kids with food that's not using artificial dyes and colors, and their kids are eating that stuff. So Kraft, which quietly and successfully removed artificial colors from its popular bright orange macaroni and cheese by switching to turmeric and paprika, said it would not introduce any new products using synthetic dyes effective immediately. Good. And by the way, the Kraft mac and cheese still tastes delicious. I mean, I'm sure it'll still kill you. I'm sure there's other things in there that'll kill you, but delicious. Look, I make homemade mac and cheese, but a good Kraft mac and cheese, you can't beat it. Kids love it. The fact that they took that crap out of there, great. So there's ways around it, obviously. This is a big reason why Trump won. I'm telling you right now, I talk to these moms and dads, and it is the biggest frustration parents have dealing with all of this, is trying to find healthy stuff for their kids. And then when they do their best, and then the kids go to parties, and the kids go and do all these other things, and then they're loaded up with crap, and then you feel like as a parent, you're beating yourself up, and you're wasting your time. 51% of Americans have a favorable opinion of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his work at HHS. And I'm telling you, and here's the truth, Here's the reality in this. The reality is this. This is part of why Trump won, because it gave cover for suburban moms who don't like Trump, who voted for Joe Biden in 2020, to support Trump and tell their friends that they were doing so because of MAHA. I really cannot understate that. The MAHA effect on suburban moms and dads who are not particularly fans of Trump was huge. And it's not just simply the food dye stuff. It's also the questions that they have around a lot of things. One of the biggest questions, should kids get the flu shot? Look, it's mandated in New Jersey that preschoolers have to get it. Why? But you're not allowed to ask those questions. And parents who ask those questions are called names, and they were called conspiracy kooks and anti-vaxxers and blah, blah, blah. So then Kennedy comes along and now you're allowed to ask these questions. So that's good. And, you know, the story, it's funny how they say a slim majority of Americans favor RFK Jr. favorably. A slim majority. Well, we'll all be a lot slimmer if we can start eating better and eating less processed foods. In late May, the CDC said it would no longer require recommend COVID shots for children and pregnant women. Good. They should have done that a long time ago. That's excellent. But when it comes to the food stuff, I'm telling you, more than anything, getting these food companies, pressuring them to just start making better food without the government forcing their hand, without the government fining them and regulating them and banning products. Like, I did not like when Gavin Newsom banned Skittles in California. I was emphatically against that. I would be emphatically against it if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did it as well. Or tried to. Bans don't work. And bans are not okay. If parents want to give their kids Skittles, go ahead. That's not the same thing as letting your kids chop their boobies off. It's not transgender mutilation surgery. It's freaking candy. It's not going to kill you. It's not healthy for you. And yeah, it leads to problems, but it also should not be banned. However, the candy companies, if they're pressured enough by consumers who say, we want healthy choices for our kids, we want to be able to give our kids healthier stuff, and if they start losing money, they're going to turn around and they're going to make their products healthy. But you got to understand the other fact in this too, which I know you understand. But the other piece of this is that for so long, the FDA turned a blind eye to all this because of the lobbying money from these big food groups who did not want to spend the money it would take to get the artificial stuff out of the food, because it is going to be expensive and it will be a cost. And yeah, the cost is going to be passed on to consumers. But here's the truth. It doesn't have to be a big cost if enough people are buying the products, meaning that they would do better to raise the cost a little bit by making them healthy than losing a lot of money because people learn how bad these things are and stop buying the products altogether. And I saw a mom last week. We were at a thing, one of those town days, you know, and there's a booth there and they're giving out candy to the kids. And the mom says to the kid, you can't have those M&Ms because they have red dye number 5 in them. If more and more parents are saying, you can't have that, you can't have that, and these food companies are losing money, they're going to want to change. And they're going to invest what they have to do to make the products healthy. So good. That's the way you persuade them. That's the way you do it. And that's that. The big story today that came out earlier today is the president said Iran wants to come meet with him and wants to make a deal. If that's the case, fantastic. He's also saying, maybe I'll strike, maybe I won't strike. I don't know. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. This is what he's saying because he needs to keep Iran on their toes. Otherwise, there's no chance of a deal. But this was, I think, the biggest takeaway from today by far. The president saying the following as he spoke to the press in the Oval Office right around 3 o'clock or so when we got on the air. This is cut 28. Cut 28, guys.
1 second.
28. No, 28, the one with Trump speaking. What happened?
Contributed to that change, how you got to where you are and making your decision now?
Well, I think it started the first night. I mean, you know, that first night was devastating. And it really knocked the one side off, as you know. Devastating, devastating evening, day. And it pretty much proceeded that way. I have a meeting in the war room in a little while. Situation room, as some people call it. So we're going to meet. We're going to see. We're in the midst of it. It's a terrible thing. I hate to see it. I hate to see all that death, so much death and destruction. But death primarily is what I hate to see.
Does that mean you haven't made a decision yet on what to do?
I have ideas as to what to do, but I haven't made a final. I like to make the final decision 1 second before it's due, you know, because things change. I mean, especially with war, things change with war. It can go from one extreme to the other. War is very bad. There was no reason for this to be a war. There was no reason for Russia, Ukraine. A lot of wars there was no reason for. You know? You look right up there, I don't know, see the Declaration of Independence, and I say, I wonder if you know, the Civil War, it always seemed to me maybe that could have been solved without losing 600,000 plus people.
All right, there you go. Now, I am headed to Delaware. I got to go to Wilmington tonight. I'm speaking to a great group of people in Newcastle County, and it's the Northern Newcastle Republicans. So I'm going to let you re-listen to my opening monologue from today so that I can hit the road and go join them for their dinner and be their special guest speaker and help them raise some money to try to defeat the Democrats in Delaware, which is not going to be an easy feat. So that'll be coming up next, and then I'll be back with you tomorrow from New York, hosting Fela's show, doing Newsroom, hopefully, and then doing this show. And then Friday, Cape May. I want to see you there. Mark your calendar this Friday, Grand Hotel of Cape May. All right? We'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I want to talk about eminent domain and this issue in New Jersey with this farm that is now getting national attention. And the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, is involved in this, too. This comes an anniversary of another Supreme Court decision called Kelo, where, you know, it's funny. Not funny. It's tragic what happened here. The Supreme Court ruled that the government can use the power of eminent domain to take your property if they can find a business development use for it, blah, 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 blah. Kelo was one of the worst Supreme Court decisions ever made. And John Stossel pointing out that 20 years later, 20 years after Kelo, after it happened, when the government seized her house, that project never happened. So the ruling stands, the project never happened. And the ramifications of Kelo still are with us today, where the government can say, well, we're seizing your private property for economic use, or in the case of what's happening in New Jersey now, for affordable housing. And I'm using air quotes here for affordable housing. If you are watching right now, you'll see air quotes. So this is what I'm talking about here. And so the good news is that both future Governor Jack Cittarelli and Secretary Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, are now reaching out to the farm to help them. We hope to have the family on the show. We're working to get them on the show. But it's Cranberry, New Jersey, which some would call Central Jersey, except there's no such place. So we're going to call it North Jersey. But what happened recently with this story, and it went viral, and it was a couple weeks ago that it first came to my attention. I actually sent it to Chitterelli's campaign and said, hey, he should go out there and he should do a press conference on this, because this is just insane what they're doing. The family has had this this farm in their family for 175 years. Andy Henry, the owner of the family's farm on South River Road in Cranberry, said he has no intention of selling the land and plans to fight the township's plan to take it by eminent domain. He said the farm, this is from NJ.com, the farm represents exactly what this town prides itself on. His great-grandfather bought the land in 1850. It is open space, rich history, and a farmhouse. We just want to keep the farm in our family. Despite objections from dozens of residents, the Cranberry Township Committee voted earlier this month to approve a plan to acquire the Henry family farm to meet state-mandated affordable housing requirements. Henry and his brother Christopher, who co-own the property, grew up in Cranberry but now live in New Mexico. They visit regularly to check on the farm, which is run by a local tenant who raises sheep and cattle. The 21-acre tract of land has been in the family for generations, and the brothers took full ownership about 12 years ago. Since then, they put more than $200,000 into maintaining the land. The two-story White House on the property was built by the family. The original home burned down around 1878, but neighbors stepped in to help rebuild it. It was remodeled in 1958 when Henry and his parents started living there. Now, it's located between the New Jersey Turnpike and Route 130. It has been targeted by warehouse developers for more than 30 years. And, I mean, I'm surprised. First of all, technically speaking, under Kelo, the town could have condemned the land and seized it under eminent domain to make way for warehouses. They could have done that because of the stupid ruling in Kelo. But they didn't do that for that purpose. Instead, what they've decided to do is they've decided to now seize it under eminent domain to build affordable housing. But they had all these offers over the years, they said. You know, they had offers from, they don't name the companies, but I'm going to guess Amazon probably. You know, Amazon's been building these gigantic warehouse distribution centers, and they want access to the Jersey Turnpike, 95. They want access to all these routes. That 130 corridor, I don't know if you're familiar with that or not in South Jersey, but it goes basically from, well, the end of Camden to, you know, all the way up past Trenton and keeps going. And there's several different ways to connect to the New Jersey Turnpike there. And from there, you can get anywhere. You know, you can get anywhere you want. And so you see as you drive up the Turnpike nowadays, or if you drive on 130 in parts of like Burlington County, New Jersey, for example, you see these massive, massive distribution facilities. Because how do you think all that crap you buy on Amazon is going to get to you in an hour? Or a day or two? It's going to get to you because they're able to get it onto a truck and get it onto a smaller truck and get it to you in the same day delivery, right? So the family could have sold out at any point. They didn't want to. They wanted to keep this farm in the family. They wanted to resist that, of which we should all say, good for you. I mean, that's great. Wonderful. Farms are beautiful. Farmland's great. And, you know, we love farmers, real farmers, not fake farmers like Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi, but real farmers and good. And we don't, but they could have taken the money. They could have taken the cash. They didn't. The town theoretically could have come in under Kelo and said, well, we think it'd be better for our business, for our economy, if we condemn your land, seize it under eminent domain, and allow Amazon to build a gigantic warehouse distribution facility here. They didn't do that either. Instead, now they're turning around and saying, well, the state of New Jersey is now mandating that we have to build our portion of affordable housing. High density housing, which, of course, then we have to build, you know, more roads and more facilities and probably more schools and maybe hire more cops. And I mean, everything that goes along with it. This is going to be, mark my words here, this will be the biggest issue in the governor's race going into the fall. The top three issues. But I really do believe this issue affects, I mean, everybody knows about this. It's happening. And we're talking in some towns, it's hundreds of units. In some towns, it's thousands of units. It just depends on where. And because the idiot governor that we have in New Jersey, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, is hell-bent on ensuring that this happens, they're trying to get all this done now before Jack Chitterelli gets elected in November. And then he said he's going to fight this, and he will fight this. And then he also gets to appoint two new Supreme Court justices who hopefully then can overturn the decision in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, which is the famous Mount Laurel decision, which mandated that every town has to have their fair share of quote unquote affordable housing. So you see how these things are kind of interconnecting here? Kelo, the Supreme Court decision, and this family farm in Cranford. Okay. So back to the story, and our buddy Matt Rooney on NJ.com with an update on this. Rollins and Chitterelli offer support to the endangered Cranberry, New Jersey family farm. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins put out the following tweet yesterday. And she said, I'm on the phone with Andy Henry of Cranberry, New Jersey. The city government has approved seizing his 175-year-old family farm via eminent domain for affordable housing units. Whether the Mauds, the Henrys, or others whom we will soon announce, the Biden-style government takeover of our family farms is over. While this particular case is a city eminent domain issue, we at the United States Department of Agriculture are exploring every legal option to help. And then she tweeted out a portal, usda.gov/lawfare, if this is happening to you, for example. Jack Chitterelli retweeting that and saying, thank you, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. New Jersey Democrats are taking the garden right out of the Garden State. As governor, I'll end overdevelopment to protect our suburbs, farms, and open space. Where's Mikey Sherrill? She stood on the debate stage and said our suburbs are not overdeveloped and that they aren't developed enough. She's Phil Murphy 2.0. Our buddy Mike from Wake Up NJ, who's been all over this and terrific, and he's a smart guy too, man. He's working really hard. He actually made a video of what happens here as the family is now begging the town not to seize the 175-year-old land. The video went viral, and then it was actually picked up by the White House and picked up by the Secretary of Agriculture. And this is why Brooke Rollins got involved and why everybody's getting involved in this. I did mention this a couple weeks ago, but with everything that's been going on in the world, we've kind of, you know, been talking about a lot of different things. So anyway, back in April, the brothers received a letter from the township stating that the property was being considered as a site to meet affordable housing requirements. If a deal can't be reached with the family to sell the property, the township could take the farm through eminent domain. Eminent domain allows the government to take private property even when the owner doesn't want to sell, if the site will be used for a public purpose. Okay, so let's go back to Kelo for a second here. Before the Kelo decision, it was always understood that eminent domain would be used for things like if the government had to, say, build a road, and then they had to take part of your property for a curb or something like that. There were very limited uses of what the government could do. But the main idea behind eminent domain prior to Kelo was it had to be for some public use. And there would be no other option. Like if you're to build a highway and there's a house there and you have to seize the house because you can't build a highway without it, that sort of a thing. But not to build a five and dime store, not to build a whatever, a Wawa. You know what I mean? Like you can't, the town can't come in, seize your property to build a Wawa. I love Wawa. And I'm not saying Wawa did this. I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, it can't be something like that. Then Kelo happens. The woman's name was Suzette Kelo, and she lost at the Supreme Court because eminent domain now lets the politicians confiscate your property if they can say it's just for public use. It's all they have to say is public use. Politicians say they need the power to take property to build public projects like roads and railroad tracks, which seems reasonable. But developers collude with politicians to use the law unfairly to force people to give up their land for private projects, something that we've talked about for a lot of years. This woman, Suzette Kelo, lived in a small pink house in New London, Connecticut. Little pink house. New London, Connecticut. New London politicians decided to sell her land along with her neighbors to a private business called the New London Development Corporation. New London would then get development, they say, and the tax revenue they would bring in. Eminent domain law forces government to pay owners fair value for their property, but the bureaucrats decide what the value is. But it didn't matter. She didn't want the money. She wanted her home. She didn't want to sell. The Institute for Justice, our friends, great friends of ours, we've had them on the show many, many times over the years. The Institute for Justice, they do some of the best work in this area, fighting for private property rights. And they fought this case all the way to the Supreme Court. And they lost. 5-4 ruling. 5-4 ruling allowing the city of New London, Connecticut to bulldoze the neighborhood. When John Stossel confronted the city's lawyer at the time, he said, politicians can kick you out of your home. The lawyer replied, is this serving an important public purpose? We say it is. New London said at the time the new development would raise tax revenue 20 years ago. So where's the tax revenue today? Well, the development never happened. The house is gone. The lot is there. It's still an empty lot. The only thing under construction, even near where her house was, is a government-funded recreation center that costs taxpayers money. According to the Institute for Justice, since Kelo v. New London, 47 states have strengthened their protections against eminent domain abuse, either through legislation or state Supreme Court decisions. Unfortunately, some places still allow it. Officials in the appropriately named town of Dalton, Illinois, proposed to use eminent domain law to take the new Pope's, the new Pope, his childhood home, from its current owners and turn it into a historic site. So they go, oh, well, the Pope grew up here. So now we're going to seize it and turn it into a historic site. In Toms River, New Jersey, the mayor plans to use eminent domain to seize a church in order to build, wait for it, pickleball courts. Right. Pickleball courts. Georgia's government approved eminent domain to take parts of dozens of properties so it can build a private railroad that will serve just one rock quarry.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to this issue in New Jersey, where this family is now fighting the town of Cranford, New Jersey, to try to stop them from taking their farm. Before unanimously approving the ordinance at a May 12th public meeting, members of the township committee said the decision does not bring them joy and was not made without serious consideration. Listen, losers, you should fight this every step of the way. The town should not feel... The town should just say, no, we're not doing this. We don't have the room for the affordable housing, and fight it and say, no, tell the state to go to hell. We don't have room. We don't have the room to build the affordable housing that you're telling us to build. So, you know, go bug off. What they should not be doing is seizing a family farm to turn it into high density housing, which, of course, is going to lead to a strain on public services in every single way. It's also antithetical to the Constitution, to private property rights. To everything. In March of 2024, the township began what would become a year-long process to identify sites that could help meet the affordable housing requirements, according to the mayor, Lisa Neerham. By 2035, New Jersey towns must add or renovate over... Ready for this? And this is why I say to you, this is going to be one of the biggest issues in the New Jersey governor's race, because obviously this issue is now getting national attention. You have the United States Secretary of Agriculture getting involved, which means the White House is going to get involved, which means this is a huge issue. Mikey Sherrill, as a member of Congress, has said not a friggin' word about this. And not about this farm. 146,000 affordable housing units. That's what New Jersey towns must add by the year 2035. 146,000 affordable housing units. By the way, there's nothing affordable about these things because they tend to, what happens like anything else, whether it's rent controlled or something else. Every person who understands economics will tell you that when the government puts in market caps, price controls, et cetera, then what happens is it drives up prices because that's the inevitable unintended consequence of that, because you have a scarcity problem. You either have homes that are then on the affordable housing end, of which case there are requirements to be able to purchase them or lease them, or then you have homes that are very, very expensive because there's no more homes for the middle class. So you have a tendency then to have really the other side of the tracks problem, where you've got the affordable housing issue, and then you've got the people that want to move into a town, can't afford a starter home because starter homes are now going for, you know, $500,000 for like a two-bath house in the burbs because there's no inventory. And because now you have affordable housing, the taxes have to go up to meet the needs of the services. So it becomes an economic disaster. So these guys, this family is now fighting this in New Jersey, which is good. I say that this town of Cranberry, this is a disgrace. The requirements have sparked controversies, with some municipalities unsuccessfully suing the state over what they argue are unfair obligations. Well, they should sue. They should sue. Cranberry should sue as well. They say Cranberry must allow developers to add 265 affordable housing units over the next 10 years. And by June 30th, the township must submit its housing plan to the state. Don't do it. Don't do it. What are they going to do? How about this brave stand to the mayor of Cranberry? How about you say no, and you side with the farm, and you side with the people in your town who don't want this crap, and you say no. How about that? What's Murphy going to do? Arrest you and get arrested? Get good publicity. Seems to work for the Democrats when they do it. I don't know what the political party of this mayor is, but I'm just saying Democrats are getting arrested every freaking day, trying to be grandstanders so that they can get arrested. Affordable housing criteria has changed dramatically, blah, 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 blah. Thus, the need for us to change how we identify properties. Just say no. They have to build, they've got to build sewer and water. They need proximity to mass transit. They need a 200-foot buffer from warehouse distribution centers. With very limited land west of Route 30 meeting the requirements, the pool of eligible properties was small, they said. Without an approved affordable housing plan in place, Cranberry officials said they fear a developer could sue the township. That could mean a builder's remedy lawsuit, which could give the township less control over what and where builders build. This is not where we want to be, but we're trying to do what's best for the town and get ahead of this. We're in a difficult position, said one of the township committee men. Residents packed committee meetings to support the Henry family, with many echoing calls to consider other sites and questioning when the township will push back on the state-required housing mandates. And there's an online fundraiser to help the family with their legal fees. This isn't just a battle for one farm. It's a stand against a system that sees land as dollar signs instead of heritage. Let us show the township that Cranberry isn't for sale. Let's show Andy that his sacrifices and his love for this land means something. Timothy Dugan, an attorney representing Andy Henry, said the township's plan to seize the property goes against Cranberry's longstanding farmland preservation efforts. It could also place housing development in an industrial area. This town has a long farming tradition. Its historic district, which includes buildings from the 19th century, was originally created as a place to serve local farmers and the agriculture industry. Over the years, the township has preserved over 2,000 acres of farmland. However, much of the area where the Henry Farm is located has been developed for warehouses. This affordable housing is going to be by itself, surrounded by warehouses. How is that a good decision? And how is that fair to the low-income people who are going to live there? Matt, did we get a confirmation from them on Friday for what time they can come on the show?
I don't believe we have a time confirmed yet, but we should have one by the end of the day.
All right, good. Excellent. There are 160 towns in New Jersey that are fighting this affordable housing nonsense, which I've told you again is going to become a huge issue. So back to Secretary Brooke Rollins. So she's the United States Secretary of Agriculture, and she's offering her support. She was literally on the phone with Andy Henry of Highland Ranch in Cranberry, New Jersey, and they're going to do everything that they can on their side to do it, to try to protect this. and good. And the point here, I think, is twofold. Number one, Kelo was a disastrous decision on the national level, giving government more powers to seize property for quote unquote public use. That disgrace and that development, that business development was never built. Outrageous, the idea that the government can come in and say, we're taking your house because we want to build a Walmart, a CVS, whatever, because we think it's better for the town. It's outrageous. Number two, the local decision in this Mount Laurel saying you have to have this affordable housing. And now you have these things intersecting. So now the town says under Kelo, it has the right to condemn and seize this farm under eminent domain, which theoretically speaking, it does because of the Supreme Court's horrific decision in Kelo. And I don't know what power the federal government has here. I know that if we had a Republican governor, this would not be happening. And I know that the president and the Secretary of Agriculture are going to try to do everything they possibly can to get involved here to save this farm. And it's going to become a huge campaign issue because it represents everything that's wrong with Democrat leadership. Leadership's the wrong word. Democrat control of everything because they hate private property rights. They hate it. They don't like capitalism. They hate it. They want, quote unquote, affordable housing, high density housing. They love that. They want to turn every town, every suburb, every village into a city. They do. That's their whole plan. They've always had that plan. They're not secret about it. All their plans, their 15-minute cities and all their nonsense, they want all those things too. And all these things are colliding right now in this 175-year-old family farm in New Jersey, the epicenter of local, national, state, federal, all colliding here on a collision course. We'll do our part to help. I know Jack Chiarelli will do his part. I know Secretary Brooke Rollins will do her part. I know you'll do your part. We'll all do our part to help. But man, the fact that we're even having this conversation right now is actually, in some ways, a good thing that it's happening now. Because if it wasn't happening now, it would not become such an issue as we head into the New Jersey governor's race this fall. Because make no mistake about it, there's going to be a decision point for people in New Jersey. Do you want to have another 150,000 units of affordable housing built in your communities, whether you like it or not, and all the services and all the increases and everything else that has to go along with it, yes or no? Simple choice to make. You vote Democrat, that's what you're getting. You vote Republican, that's what you're not getting. You're not getting that. Simple choice to make. All right, more to come. A lot to get to today. Big story coming out of the United States Supreme Court. Yes, we can ban gender mutilation surgeries and other quote unquote medical procedures for minors. We'll talk about that as we continue. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com with two locations to serve you. I just saw him today in his Cinnaminson office. Had a great visit and I got a good checkup as well.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.